Welcome to Ladies Talking Leafs. I'm Chris.
And I'm Syl.
And yeah, we got a good show for you today. Before we get into it, we want to thank all the healthcare workers that we've been thanking for how long now? I think it's, what is it?
Four months.
Three months so far. I mean, we should always be thanking them, obviously, but during these pandemic times, it's tough sort of thing. But we're getting through it, and we got lots to talk about today, that's for sure. So, we just want to thank you, the healthcare workers.
And before we get into everything, we are recording on June 1st, and as we all know, there's been a lot of unrest in the States and also here at home with regards to, police brutality and everything and all the protests in the States. And of course, you know, we are a couple of privileged white women, so it's really not, I don't think, our place to really speak on this from a personal point of view. But we do want to say that, you know, we are showing solidarity with everyone on this. And we are also happy that the Leafs organization and several Leaf players have come out and spoken out against it as well. And they didn't mince words. Like the Leafs organization, you know, called it what it is, said that it was murder. And we just hope that this time it will, you know, force some longer lasting change. And our voices right now, we just need to amplify the voices that need to be heard and educate ourselves more, is what I kind of feel. So
yeah, I totally agree with everything that you just said. I mean, I grew up in Scarborough, so I've always had friends that were of all nationalities, basically. And I never came across anything like things that are happening today, sort of thing. But where I saw people getting marginalized like that, or just the bad things that are being said about people and that. But those are the people I grew up with, sort of thing. So to me, we're all the same, and we should all be treated equally. And and let's hope hopefully we can get to some peaceful, more peace, and really bring on change with the peace.
Yes, so, definitely.
Yeah. So moving on, not just moving on, but we're just, we want to talk some hockey now. get to, finally there's some good things to report on with hockey. So, but first of all,
actually things to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah. And, first, well, I guess it's June, and we've actually never spoke about the Leafs in June. We looked this up, and the latest that we've gone into the playoffs is May 31st, 1999. That's the last game, or the latest game that we played into the playoffs, where we lost to the Sabres in the Eastern Conference Final in May 31st, 1999. And I don't know, I was saying to Syl that I really, when I saw that, it was just like it brought back all these memories of that game and being at Air Canada Center, and and how Matts basically came back in that series, and because he was injured for the first, I think he was injured for the first two series. He came back in that third series for Buffalo, against Buffalo,
mm-hmm. That's when he hurt his hand or something.
Yeah, and then injured hand. We were doing so well, he came back, and then everything just went. Yeah. Nothing.
I know. And like, because Gary Roberts and Alan McCauley were like leading the charge so much in that series. And then Matts came back, and I think they just, everyone seemed to like back off somehow. It just was very, very strange. Anyway, didn't happen. Yeah.
So,
yeah, that hopefully happened. We'll be talking about the Leafs in June for better reasons down the road than this.
Yeah.
But, So other than that, the other news that we have is that the AHL season is officially done. There are a few Marlies players that are on standby and are going to be prepared to practice and play should the season resume, which is expected. And it's actually pretty exciting because the taxi squad for the playoffs includes Nick Robertson, which I have to say, before that news came down, I was thinking they really should put him on the team because this isn't kind of an unprecedented situation. They normally wouldn't have the opportunity to do that because, you know, he's been having a really great season. He would probably be in the OHL playoffs. And normally we wouldn't have the opportunity to see him called up in this way. So it'd be kind of exciting to see if he gets to play or, you know, where sure. they put him. But anyway, yeah. It's pretty cool.
Because yeah, I actually heard his head coach from the Peterborough Petes. He actually got mm-hmm. me more excited with the way he described this kid, the way he plays. So yeah. he had 55 goals in 46 games. So he was actually going, I guess, for the Peterborough Petes record, I guess, for most goals in the least amount of games. Mm-hmm. But obviously that ended because the OHL season ended. But he basically just described him as a focused and very like determined player. And he actually played on the PK, mm-hmm. which I didn't know as well. He had 8 shorthanded goals.
Yeah, I see him like really being like fulfilling some of the roles that, you know, similar to what Marner does, for example.
Yeah.
Except, you know, he's a little more of a sniper than him.
It'd the way be he interesting worded it, though, to, the coach, he actually said he's lethal on the breakaway.
Ha!
When he says gotta lethal, like I'm like, wow. Yeah. Can't wait to see that.
Oh, totally. And it's actually had us another Lady Leaf fan comment on Twitter that she'd like to see him play with Kerfoot and Kapanen maybe and see what he can do. I could see that being a pretty nice third line.
Yeah.
If they give him a shot at that. Anyways, we'll see what happens. In addition to this Nick Robertson news, we also have some birthdays in June on the Leaf squad. So Zach Hyman, he is celebrating a birthday on June 9th. He will be 28 years old, and Jason Spezza is June 24th, and he will be 37. And I think Pierre Engvall also just celebrated a birthday recently, so we're going yesterday. To call him, shout him out also, even though technically he's not a June birthday. But kudos to them, and happy birthday to all of our Leafs.
And then other things that are, I guess in June, I guess some historical things that we looked back or we looked for to see what happened. And of course, June 15th, 1985, my favorite player, one of my favorite players, Wendell Clark, was drafted. And mm-hmm. just one thing, going back to Matt Sundin again, don't want to pick on him too much, but the reason, I guess we talked a little bit about it in the last podcast too. But there's a couple of things that for me, I guess why I'm not a huge fan of Matt's. He was traded for Wendell Clark. So Wendell Clark mm-hmm. was my favorite player. So that was that was a huge hit for me to see Wendell get traded. And then, the other thing is there's so many fans of Matt Sundin, and I just, for him to just not show up at the Scotiabank Arena or anything like,
yeah.
Like, not to give his fans the time of day like that. Like, I don't know. I just don't. I don't see it that he's not showing appreciating all the fans. He has thousands of fans.
I know.
That love him, and I don't know how they still love him because he doesn't.
Yeah, they
show
seem
up
to
for
forgive
them.
Him for yeah. for that. You
whereas,
know,
whereas we don't. So because no. we have our favorite players, they always showed us fans respect that way. In my opinion, anyway. So, yeah. So,
well,
that
I think it's part of it. I think part of it, too, is that, you know, the players were more accessible to us back then. And everybody who loves Mats is used to the fact that he was not that accessible. So maybe it doesn't really bother them that much for that reason, because he was never accessible for them, really.
Yeah, maybe.
So,
yeah. So, yeah. And then, of course, the other very important player, VIP player, our best player on our team, was drafted June 24th, 2016, Austin Matthews. That was the day, I guess, when I think I actually put on Instagram, I posted on our Instagram this picture of on the Toronto Sun, and it had the Savior on the cover sort of thing, right? So on that day, on June 24, 2016. So yeah, unfortunately, he will not get the strive for vibe, the 50 goals this year, but he'll get it next year. No
I really wonder, I wonder how pissed off he is about that, because he was really coming on. I actually feel like he could have, first of all, gotten that, and also maybe gotten the Rocket Richard as well, because the other two kind of had, you know, backed off a little bit. You know, they had, except, well, I guess, whatchamacallit, Ovechkin had that one hat trick night, but I think he could have eclipsed them given the opportunity. So,
well, I read also too that he had 13 posts that he hit.
Yeah, I know, right?
Right. So you got to think 13 posts, right? But and then the last item in June that we want to highlight is that it's going to be Father's Day on June 21st. So happy Father's Day to all the dads there, because we forgot to mention this in May for the mothers.
That's right. I think, right.
We didn't really say it.
That's the more important day, Mother's Day.
Considering we're female, right? We should say happy Mother's Day too. But
that's right.
So we didn't want to miss out on the dads this time. So happy Father's Day to all the dads on coming up in June. Into the
onto our league update. So the NHL, you know, basically Gary Bettman a week or so ago posted and spoke about the four-phase plan that they have for reopening. So that is good news, because it means it will in fact reopen. Technically, we're kind of in phase one right now, which is basically getting players back to their home rink areas. Several players have come back already, including Nick Robertson, who we talked about before. And of course, they're going to, especially in Canada, they're going to have their 14-day quarantine. And then we are moving to phase two, which I think has already opened, where they've opened practice facilities now, and players are going to get to have workouts and skates in small groups of six. It is optional. It's not mandatory. There's no coaches, no team people around. And of course, they have to keep their distance. It's just giving them the opportunity to use the workout facilities and get some skates in. And then phase three, which would be official training camps, would not be starting in before July 10th. So sometime towards mid-July, we should have something official coming up. And then phase four will be the official games, which there's no starting point or deadline for that. But I think that they were looking at August, September, and maybe having a Stanley Cup awarded sometime around Thanksgiving. So we'll see how that all kind of comes to fruition. So we're watching for that now, but it's exciting, at least, that the potential for hockey is on the horizon. There's lots of things to work out, especially the hub cities and where they're going to play. And I think that, Christine, you can speak to that part of it, the what's going on with the hubs and the format.
It is exciting, like you said, but what brought me down was, I guess, some of these insiders, I guess, like Darren Dreger, Elliot Friedman, and all that, they were all like saying, okay, like, here's the plan, right? Like, Gary Bettman came on TV, gave us the plan, and then they're like, but hang on, there's all these important things that are still not 100% with the players. Like, even though they've agreed to the format, but there's still a lot of questions surrounding the safety, the families, I guess, like they're going to be away from their families for however for long months in the hub cities. And then today I was listening earlier to Darren Dreger at TSN, and he was saying he was really going on about this financial part when it comes to the escrow for the players, which that's a that's another topic altogether that we'll get into it on another day. Mm-hmm. But so yes, it's exciting, but then we have to take a step back a little bit too. But we're fans, so we want to stay with the exciting part. So
yeah,
let me describe, I'm sure our listeners have probably heard this already, but just to make sure that, I guess to make it clear that the players did agree to the 24-team playoff tournament. And so basically the way it works is there's a play-in series based on points percentage, and it's a best of five series in that, so it's a play-in to get into the playoffs basically, and in that the Leafs would play Columbus. So as I tweeted out or put on Instagram, it's great because we will not be seeing the Bruins, at least in this playoffs, in this play-in series, which I consider...
Not in the first round, anyway.
Not in the first round, yeah. I consider, even though they're calling it a play-in series, I consider that a playoff series. So if we don't have to worry about the Bruins in this case, and it's a best of five. Then the top four teams from each conference... they get the bye, and they'll be basically playing a round robin series between each other and it really hasn't been determined as to whether or not it's going to affect the seeding of those four teams. Like whether or not, because right now Boston, they won the President's Trophy, as like that really doesn't mean anything anymore, because normally the President's Trophy winner who finishes first overall in the league would get home ice throughout the playoffs. But that's not going to happen, obviously.
I think it's funny, too, because some Bruins people sent out a thing saying it's not fair because they should get the first seed. And they're crying over there. Oh, wah, wah, wah.
Oh, well. Whatever. That's fine. They can whine all they want. They have the best whiner there in Marchand himself. But, yeah, so they're going to do a round robin, the top four teams in each conference. And then from that, it'll determine the 16-team playoff round, which would be four rounds. Right now, it's still best of seven right now for all four rounds. But it could be a possibility that the first round will be a best of five. They're still discussing that part of it. So, so...
And as far as that goes, too, like they don't know yet if they're going to go to the bracket format as far as the seeding goes after each round, or if they're just going to reseed. I personally feel that they should just reseed. I mean, if you're going to do something different and have it not as because they've got, you know, more teams in the fold now and they're split it up by conference. I don't think that keeping it divisional wise is as necessary in this case. And if they're going to do something different, they may as well do it completely different for this time and just reseed it.
I don't know. We'll see what happens. But I guess like the playoff model itself, do you like it?
Well, I mean, I don't think I'm crazy about the 24 teams so much.
Yeah, no, I'm not.
I think 20 would have been fine. You know, I think it's kind of, it's fortunate that, you know, Chicago and Montreal, you know, got to get to participate. And I don't know if it's 100% fair. And I don't necessarily think that the percentages at the end of the season that we completed indicated that they would have had enough of a chance to make it. So
no, they wouldn't. I don't know. I guess said the Habs had 0% chance. They actually said that.
So
it was zero.
What are you rewarding them for?
And the Hawks,
except for that,
the Hawks had 2.9% chance of getting in.
Except for that, both of those markets are really popular hockey markets, and that they probably want to include them for that reason. It's all a marketing thing and not doesn't have anything to do with them, you know, earning that spot. So but you know, at the same time, like, I'm not gonna complain too much. This is what they've come up with. Everyone's agreed, so I'm gonna just, once it all rolls out, I'm not gonna be thinking about, you know, whether or not it was fair. I'm probably just gonna be enjoying the games. And the one thing I would have liked to see is if they're going to do it this way, including teams that maybe don't really have a real reason to be there, then I think for that play-in in particular, I had heard some suggestions that for the teams that were ahead that they only had to win two instead of having to win three out of five. So like if your team had the better record, then technically you would only have to win two out of five to advance. And a team with the worst record would have to win three out of five to advance. I think that would have made it a little bit more fair, considering that they're including all of these teams. But I don't know. I don't think that's going to happen. But anyway, that to me, I thought was a pretty good suggestion, though.
So what do you think about us going against Columbus? I'm excited just to have two things I'm excited about. One is to listen to John Tortorella after every game
in
the post game.
Funny.
That is just going to be entertainment in itself.
It will remind me a little bit of the Pat Burns, Barry Melrose exchanges, remembering the hot dog and all that.
I don't think Sheldon Keefe can can match up to that. He doesn't look like the type.
No.
And the other thing is the other thing I'm looking forward to, like, we don't have to hear that cannon. You know, in Columbus, they have that cannon every time they score a goal.
Oh, yeah, because unless Columbus becomes a hub, in which case then we would have to hear it.
No, so, but actually they said that the if somehow, I don't know how this is going to work, but with the hub cities, like, those home teams are not going to, like, we wouldn't even play here if the hub city is here.
Oh,
They're gonna make sure that we're in the other hub city somehow.
So does that mean they're gonna have more than one in the east and more than one in the west?
No, because that's why I didn't really understand. It's all to be still worked
How's
out.
How's that but possible? Like,
I don't know. But that's what they said. They said that no team is gonna be in their home city. Like if it's a hub city, they're gonna I don't know.
Are That's they going to make all the Eastern Conference teams play
in the West? Yeah,
they
could do that.
Yeah, that's the way they could do it. They could do it that way.
Yeah. So anyhow, so those are the two things that I'm looking forward to. And I mean, I think hopefully Freddie will be good because that's the main advantage we have, or better than good, I guess, because they have two goalies that haven't played at all in the playoffs. And yeah, and so sometimes, though, that works against you, too. They could turn out to be, like, hot goalies
just
then.
Just get hot.
Because they have no pressure. But yeah, I mean.
Well, I don't know. Like, we don't have the greatest record against them, which is the thing that kind of concerns me. But, you know, and they've also gotten back a lot of their top players that have been injured. That being said, we're getting back most of ours as well. Except for Janssen, who's more long-term, and I guess it still remains to be seen whether Mikheyev will be back or not. Although, I mean, even before this stoppage happened, he was already shooting, so we'll see. But it'll just be exciting to see hockey regardless.
Yeah, but it's 15 years since we last won a playoff series, so...
I know.
I have a feeling...
But is that considered a playoff series, the play-in?
Well, that's why I said earlier, I consider that a playoff series. I don't care. It's a best 3 out of 5, and I consider it a playoff series myself because there's something on the line. You're
true,
right? There's something on the line, and if you don't win, you're done, sort of thing, right? So,
yeah.
So anyhow, yeah. So
okay, I'll take it. You sold me. On the heels of all that, there's also been discussions of what's going to happen with the draft lottery. They were trying to move it up to, like, I guess it was supposed to be at the end of this week, but that got kiboshed pretty quickly. So now it's going to be held on June 26th. Ottawa, having two high-level first-round picks, has the best chance to get the number one because they have both the second and third picks, and there are 15 other teams in the lottery. 7 are already determined, and the other 8 will be the losers from the play-in series. So it's a little bit complicated the way it all works out, but...
So that means, like, Kyle Dubas wasn't too excited about this question, but that means basically if we lose in the play-in series versus Columbus, that means we are in the lottery, basically.
That's right.
Or we could be in the... We would be in the lottery. We would be placed based on points percentage again. as part of the 15 teams. And we have to remember, too, that our pick this year, our first pick, goes to Carolina. So
that's right.
Because of that whole Patrick Marleau thing. But if we place...
So we got to finish as high as possible.
Well, yeah, if we place 11th or lower, that pick is lottery protected. So we would actually keep that pick if we were 11th or higher. Sorry, not lower, higher. Mm-hmm. So we have to be 11th and higher than that to actually keep the pick. So, yeah. But like Kyle Dubas said, we don't want to be thinking about that. Or we hope not to be thinking about that.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, no, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. And I guess that will be potential consolation prize material. But for now, we're just going to assume that we won't be part of that. And basically, because the teams that are part of the play-in round won't be determined until after that is over. So that likely won't be in August until sometime in end of July or August. The date for the actual draft will be determined after the Stanley Cup is awarded.
And let's hope that happens. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so the other part of this plan is the two hub cities. And Toronto has put in their bid to be a hub city. So other Canadian cities that have put in a bid, Edmonton, who's really strongly going at it,
definitely.
Their premier there, I keep hearing his name all the time and not really listening to the details, but I keep hearing his name in the news. He's really excited about trying to get this Edmonton as a hub city. And then Vancouver is the other Canadian city. Columbus, Minnesota, Dallas, Pittsburgh, Vegas, and Chicago.
Edmonton, I think, has probably the best shot because their premier is willing to kind of fudge the requirements for quarantine, because that is pretty much the only way. So like if Premier Ford is not willing to or can't because the municipality of Toronto is it's a massive hub, right? It's much bigger than Edmonton, even though Edmonton is a larger city in Canada, but basically the population density there is not the same. And of course they do have the resources of the new rink, good practice facilities, hotels nearby, and they have the strong support of the premier there. So that I think will kind of push them in the direction. I honestly think that if that's going to be the case, that it would be nice if they could, for the sake of timing, as far as the time zones go, because they're going to obviously have to have like triple headers and stuff. If they have, hubs that are kind of all aligned, like one north and one south, that's kind of aligned in the same time zones, then our Leaf games can stay still at 7 o'clock instead of having to be too early or too late. So,
yeah, well,
I'm already thinking that far ahead.
It's the Leafs, so I think we're, it's the Leafs. So I definitely think that we'll be on at 7 o'clock. No doubt. And yeah, I don't know about us being a hub city. I don't think, like you said, Doug Ford, I don't think he's going to be fudging the rules or anything like that from, to get this here. Although we do have all the facilities and that, and we've hosted tournaments before, like the World Juniors mm-hmm. our city is world-class that way to be able to handle that.
It's not a question of the facilities at all. I don't think. I think they're well set up for that, for sure. It's just a question of the fact that the amount of people that the players could come into contact with and traveling back and forth. They've made a very generous suggestion and recommendation for what they're going to do for testing as well, where they're willing to test the players, but also, donate testing to the public. I think logistically it will be tougher to do it here in Toronto, as much as I would love to see it.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens. I mean, it's still, at least we're talking about it and we have a plan in place, a format, a playoff mm-hmm. format. So that's,
I mean, at least it's going to be evolving yeah. as we go. So
By the time this podcast comes out in a couple of days,
could all change.
It could all change, right? But at least we know the format is staying the same, I think, right? But there's still there might be fine tuning a bit, but yeah, we do have a Leaf update, of course. That's like an overall league update, but what do we got still for the Leaf update?
In our actual stuff that's gone on with the team, our assistant coach, who was running our power play, Paul McFarland, decided to leave to become head coach of the Kingston Frontenacs. I think he has expressed a desire to really focus on becoming a head coach in the league. So he decided that getting more head coaching experience is going to benefit him. So we bid him a farewell.
But he is actually, one thing I forgot to note there too is the fact that he is staying on. I guess he's staying on to the end of the playoffs.
Right.
And then he's going to be going to the...
I mean, he's got nothing to go to right now anyways.
Well, yeah, it would actually more affect Kingston, let's say, depending on when they start their season, right? Because the playoffs could not end until like November, right? So the OHL could start before then, but he's agreed to stay with us.
I don't know about that, but anyway.
Anyways, we'll see. Yeah, I mean, that's something. But one thing, though, I mentioned to you, which I guess I was wrong originally when I was thinking of it, but I wasn't impressed with his power play anyways, because our power play, the last 12 games of the season that we played, it was running at like 13.9%, which is brutal. And I think that's what everybody was looking at to say, what's wrong with the power play? Because for those last 12 games, it was crap. But overall, actually, for the season, we were actually sixth. We were running at 23%. So overall, it was good. It was just at the end of the season there that, for whatever reason,
Seems to be our MO. Like, I think last year, too, we started off pretty strong. And then, you know, towards the end of the season, things dropped off. And that's obviously not when you want that to happen.
Yeah.
So other than that, as far as Leaf news goes, we also, ironically, the day after we recorded our last podcast, the very next day, they signed another defenseman from the KHL, Mikko Lehtinen. He signed a one-year almost league minimum deal, $925,000. He's 26 years old, played in the K, as I mentioned, this past season. He was named the top KHL defenseman for this past season as well. Year before, he played in the Swedish Hockey League, and he's just another great find from our director of European scouting, Jim Palafito. They just keep finding these diamonds in the rough.
And the thing is,
he's not a right shot defenseman, though.
Exactly. But I was just going to say that.
So
another left-handed.
We just keep adding them. Yeah.
Yeah. So what? Like, I look like there's Dermott, there's Sandin, there's Marinson, Muzzin, Riley, and Callie Rosen. Callie Rosen is down on, and Sandin are both with the Marlies right now, but they're all left-handed defensemen. So I don't know what Dubas has to have something in mind with, because they're really high on this Mikko Lehtinen. Well, he's not a kid. He's 26 years old.
Yeah, they think he can play.
Yeah.
Well, and obviously, they're thinking that somebody's going to move to play on their offside. And I know they've talked to Sandin, and Sandin is like, he says he can do it, and he's done it with the Marlies. So,
well, this kid, actually, in his interview with Dubas, this Mikko Lehtinen, when he had the media availability, he said the year prior to this past year in the KHL, when he played in the Swedish League, that he played the whole season on the right side. So he may be the one that is the guy to play on the right side. I don't know, but it just it's going to be interesting with having all these options on the left side. So and we actually had the opportunity. This is actually a special little insight for us on our side. You got some good information here. We actually had the opportunity to get on a call with some other group of fans to give some questions to Kyle Dubas and Brendan Shanahan. We had the opportunity to do that on a WebEx call. And yeah, we wanted to share with you a couple of things that we thought were interesting that they mentioned. In the case of Kyle Dubas, his wasn't so interesting, I'll have to say. He spent a lot of time describing, I guess, what the team is doing or what the team did to prepare because of the whole pandemic thing. There was a lot of things that were going on, so he spent a lot of time describing that. But he also mentioned about the uncertainty of the salary cap and the way we are structured. I guess the uncertainty of the salary cap being now, obviously, with the pandemic and there's no fans, there's no gate revenue coming in. So the salary cap isn't going to move up anytime soon, that's for sure. And when he said that, given the way that the team is structured, basically, I thought of it, meaning he's pointed to those four players that are making the $41 million or whatever it is, $40 million. He said it may mean that there's something in their plan that has to change. So I don't know. We'll see. But that's just reading the between the lines. And then he talked a lot about the draft and how it is important that, I guess, how they approach the draft in this pandemic and how the European scouts, they would normally go to the games. But in this case, because of COVID-19, it's not possible. So instead, they're looking at game tapes. And I mean, they're really going in depth with these game tapes. They're going shift by shift for individual players to look for things that they do.
They are the detail-oriented team.
Yeah, yeah. So he's like, the last quite a number of weeks, they've been looking at these game tapes of players, and they did all the player interviews. They did them on the WebEx or Zoom program. So they interviewed all the young players that are draft eligible to see if they saw a match there for our team. And it is really important, though, that they had their strategy in place and that he really focused on the draft a lot. And it is good to hear, because most of our picks are in later rounds. So 7 of our picks are from the 5th round on. So if you don't have, if you don't have everything right, we need those diamond in the rough kind of thing, right? Like to find those good players in the later rounds, because when we went to Brendan Shanahan's WebEx, he was always talking about making sure the cupboards are full. Basically, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the link between the two. Brendan Shanahan expects, like, in order to have a continuous team that's winning or that does well, you need to have a good group of prospects, depth in the organization. The only way to do that is to have good draft picks or good and that comes down to the Definitely. European scouts. Yeah. So
that is interesting to me too, that he talks that Dubas was talking that way. And I think that, you know, this traditionally, this is not the way they normally would do things, but sometimes, you know, when you do things differently, it's also an opportunity to see something different or in a different way that you would not have picked up on before. So their interviewing is going to big time come into play, and that might, you know, they might find some more intangibles in some players that they might not have picked up on before, because things would have been focused differently, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So, yeah.
So talking about Shanahan's talk a little bit more, as you said, it was more interesting. He's kind of hoping that the time away from the game sends a message to the young players that the game isn't going to be there all the time. And so, you know, really, they all kind of live in the moment. And I think even, you know, what's going on right now in the world on a greater scale is kind of showing that you know, there's more to things. And so that the moment can be fleeting, and to appreciate it, I guess, is the message that he's trying to send. And like you were talking about with, you know, drafting a good prospect pool, you know, he's very much about the evolution of the player. So, you know, from the young guy trying to get established, wanting his ice time, time on the power play, you know, maybe in winning individual awards. So I think they kind of want to see that in their players, in their young guys. That, and I guess this is part of their plan for development too, is to, you know, look at these things and get them on track for, you know, building their career resume, I guess, on the ice that way. You know, and then you've got your veteran players too, who've been through the grind and has learned a lot, and he's learned a lot from them as well. And they've got to be willing to give up a little bit and be rewarded in another way. So, i.e. winning the Stanley Cup.
Yeah. So like the veteran players, like they've been through it, like you said, and mm-hmm. it's just, that's the evolution of the player. The way Shanahan was describing it was to say that the younger players, they need to get to the point to understand that they need to give up those shifts sometimes, because give it to another one of their another player, and it they'll be rewarded in the different way, which is winning. Then the ultimate goal is winning. Mm-hmm. and yeah. So, and then he talked about the Shanahan plan. Talk about the Shanahan plan.
So as far as the Shanahan plan, where are we in the Shanahan plan?
Yeah.
So he says he finds it funny how the media portrays the Leafs as some grand experiment. He says there isn't one way to win, which is totally true. And he's not like Masai Ujiri, you know, yelling, "We will win." But so, because he's just not that guy. But he has a feeling that they will have success. And I trust him. If there's one person in this organization that I trust, and I would say that this part is akin to Raptors fans, because I would say if you asked Raptors fans, do they trust Masai Ujiri? 100% they do. And I feel the same way about Shanahan. He's got a different personality, but you know what? The thing that they both have in common is this strong vision for what it looks like to win and what it looks like to put together a championship organization. And that's what it all boils down to. And they are both amazing at adapting. And I think you need to be able to pivot. And these guys have the bigger vision, but they can pivot to make adjustments to get to where we want to go. And so I trust him. He may think he's not like Masai Ujiri, but I think he's more like him than he gives himself credit for.
Well, when he was saying that about the Shanahan plan and where we're at, and he was talking about mm-hmm. it just got me excited, because he had a little smile on his face as he was saying, he just has this feeling that we will have success. And then, I don't know, just mm-hmm. the way he had that little smile on his face. And I was like, yes, it's going to happen. mm-hmm. Right? And yeah, so that got me excited about it. So yeah. And then, the other interesting point he noted about, I guess, when they're looking for players, it's for skilled players with fast hands, fast feet, and fast brains, basically, right? So the mm-hmm. hockey IQ is highly important, I guess, when they're looking at players and the development of players. Yeah.
Yeah. And actually, since we've been looking at those plays that, you know, the plays bracket that the Leafs have out, you know, that kind of, a lot of those that they're putting out there highlights that, you know, making really, really quick plays in tight and stuff like that. You know, they got to be able to think fast on the fly to make some of those incredible plays that they make.
Yeah.
So
true. Yeah. So, it was really cool though, to be able to have that.
Absolutely. We were really fortunate to have this opportunity.
Yeah.
So, and we're really happy to be able to bring the insights to you, because, well, we're not insiders in the bigger scheme of things, but we have this little nugget, so we wanted to share it with you.
Yeah, there was no media on this sort of thing, so we didn't get it from any of... We were the insiders this time.
But yes.
Yeah, and, so we now want to talk a bit, just a few couple minutes anyways, about the, I guess on June the, today basically, it's June the 1st, but when we release the podcast, it'll be June the 3rd, but most of our listeners will probably know, or if you don't know, you can go and look on the Toronto Sun website, and in the sports section of June the 1st online, we actually got an article written about us, and it was quite surprising. Lance Hornby of the Toronto Sun, I guess he contacted us a few weeks ago, and he noticed us on Twitter, and so we got a full page article in the Toronto Sun, which was huge, and we're really appreciative of it, and it's very exciting.
So grateful to him, and we are so excited about it. So yeah, definitely check it out.
Yeah, check it out. It's on our Instagram page.
We have Twitter. A link in the bio. We have a link in the bio on Instagram, so you can click directly to the article. But we also want to say that we're so grateful to our listeners, because this wouldn't be happening at all without your support. So thank you so much for those of you who are following us and listening to us on a regular basis. For a podcast that just started, you know, basically we're in our first year. This is only our 10th episode. We're really pleased with how it's going, and we are excited to obviously share even more with you. So,
yeah, and considering there's been no hockey for a few months, there's going to be, and we're still able to talk about it. So, and we still have stuff for you to listen to. We never don't have anything to talk about when it's the Leafs. So I think there's always something to talk about. But
exactly. Yeah.
So that's all we got for you this month. Like Syl just said, as always, thank you for listening. And please give us your feedback. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Our handle is the @LTL1917. And go Leafs, go!
Go Leafs, go!